notes here. All right, well, good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to speak with you and share my testimony, and thank you, Will, for the opportunity. I don't know how impressive it'll be, but I pray that you get encouragement from it, and just to have the blessing of hearing other people's path of where Christ has led them down. So, well, starting off, usually I start off by saying I grew up Catholic. I went through the whole Catholic spiel of First Communion and all that with my parents. So from there till about eighth grade, I was involved in the church. I didn't really know the whole thing, like, about Jesus. I knew he was the Son of God, but I kind of thought Jesus and the Bible was in the spiritual realm. I didn't understand that Jesus Christ actually lived on this earth. I guess it was just my young brain. I don't know what I was thinking when I was going to the Catholic stuff. But anyway, once the eighth grade finished, I went into high school. I strayed away from God. I got into the wrong crowds, the wrong groups. From there, I turned into a bad person. I became more wicked as the days went. I was a bully. I was mean. I was immature. I was, I picked on people. I goofed off. I didn't want anything to do with God. I wasn't even thinking about God whatsoever. Then after high school, well, throughout high school, I was drinking. I would drink. I was about it. Went off to college in St. Louis. I was there for 2 years. And then once college hit was when I really started to get this anxiety that just picked up from something that happened in my childhood. I won't go into the details, but when that happened, I went off to college. When I first got there to my dorms, I started to take on this anxiety that was paralyzing, where I would get so into my thoughts where it would literally paralyze me and I couldn't walk. I was at a standstill. And it's almost like a numbing feeling. You just go numb, and I didn't know how to comprehend it. I didn't know how to handle that. And it was just all at once, right when I went to college, and it wasn't a good start. So that started off my college track. And then from there, that's kind of what sparked a terrible college experience as far as depression, loneliness. I hated school. I hated going to school. I secluded myself. And when I tell you I didn't talk to anybody but the teachers, I literally mean that. I didn't talk to anyone unless I had a question about homework or something. No socialization at all. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was just surviving. I was so just alone and didn't want to talk to anybody that I was almost craving attention in a silenced kind of way. I wanted people to know what I was going through, but through weird means. Like I would go to, I'd come home on the weekends from St. Louis because there was no way I was staying in St. Louis for 2 years without going home. I had to go home. That was the only glimpse of light I had to go home and see family and stuff on the weekends. But going back, I would just get that much more depressed. There was weeks where I would starve myself. I wouldn't eat anything because I wanted people to see, like, wow, he's gotten really skinny, and just an attention-seeking thing. I remember I had a therapist telling her, like, I wanted to get so malnutrition that I wanted to, like, pass out in class just to get people's attention on me that something's wrong. It was weird. But anyway, going out of college, I eventually graduated. And then I kind of went into I cared so much about, or I was just so depressed, I just didn't want to, I didn't want to do that anymore, so I got into drugs, I got into harder drugs. I went to festivals and just fried my brain at a festival and would come home, be that much more depressed, suicidal, panic attacks. So did a lot of drugs. Won't go into the details, but you hear people do drugs to escape, and that was literally what I was doing. I didn't want to be in my head. I didn't want to be in my mindset, and I wanted to be somewhere where I didn't have to think like that or worry. It was a roller coaster of being hateful. I had a girlfriend at the time I was verbally abusive to. I ended off coasting into a stoner phase. I became a stoner for about a year and a half. If I didn't have weed that day, I would find a way to get it. It was an addiction. I was addicted to weed, and I was addicted to music. I was addicted to rap music. I was addicted to listening to music in my car, smoking weed. That's all I wanted to do. And then when I started my weed phase is when I became very hateful. It was just escalating of evil, of how wicked I was becoming. In my life, I went from not wanting anything to do with God to now I was starting to deny Him, and I was starting to question Him. I was to the point where I was an unbeliever. It just got worse and worse. I escalated into a very bad person, sexually immoral, wicked. And the only thing that made me happy was smoking my weed and listening to my music. Of course, that's not true happiness, but that's what I thought it was. That escalated. And then one night, I went out with one of my buddies. We would smoke all the time in the car. We just happened to go out one night. We were at the park. I met him at the park, and this was the day before I started my custodian job, which I'm not there anymore. I just left. So I was thinking, I'm going to get this custodian job. I got this full-time job now. I'm going to smoke weed every day, and I'm going to listen to my music. Because before, I just had a part-time job where I was smoking weed every day, so now I got a full-time job. I'm set. I was happy. I was excited. The night before, I went to the park with my buddy, and we smoked just like any other time. He handed me a Chillum. I smoked it just like normal. I was watching these videos on my phone. I kind of felt a little funny, a little more funny than usual. He's like, okay, let's go to the gas station. So we go to the gas station, and I can't really describe the experience to a T as far as something you can understand, I guess. It was just, it's hard to describe, but we're sitting at the gas station, and then I guess it's just one that fully set on, and the best way I can describe it is it felt like I was in hell. The realm I was in was hellish. It was wicked. It was tangible evil in the air. It was purely terrifying, and I started to disassociate with reality. I looked over at my friend, and I said, all I could say was, man, I am not doing good. And that's all I could get out. In the meantime, he's like, okay, we'll drive around. We'll change the scenery. So he's driving around. He's got this music playing, this rap music that I love to listen to all the time. That's what I loved, and I could not stand it. I couldn't stand it when it was on. I heard it for what it really was. I didn't hear this illusion that this music gave me, that it gives people who listen to it, this illusion of, it's very adulterous music. You know, music today, it's written in the first person most of the time. Especially like rap music and all that. I mean, all kinds of music. So when you're listening to it, you're thinking, yeah, this song's about me. This is about my life. I'm the cool one. I'm the one getting the women. I'm the one. It's a very wicked, selfish music. And that's, when people listen to it, that's why people like the music. They think it's talking about me. This is my life. So I didn't hear it for that. I didn't hear it for the illusion it was. I heard it for what it really was. And it was wicked and it was evil. And then at that point, I was already about to lose my mind. And then now I'm like, I just close my eyes and I'm like, I'm just trying to stay calm. I can't even talk. And I felt I was on the brink of just going mad, getting out of the car and just screaming or something, going to the hospital. So I heard the music for what it really was, and that's what terrified me. I remember thinking, these people, these artists, I didn't hear this illusion. I heard this person on this other line who doesn't only not care about me, but hates me. And that's what these artists are. They hate us. They hate us, and they have an agenda. And you hear about artists selling their soul to the devil, and that stuff actually happens. That's a real thing. And I just remember thinking, they have us all fooled. They had me fooled this whole time, and they are aiding Satan and sending people to hell, and it's working. Because music is so powerful. I don't know who else can relate, but if I walk into a store for a few minutes, I walk out, and I'm replaying that music that's on in that store in my head, because it's just, it ingrains it into your head with the melodies. And I'll have a song that I walk into a store playing in my head when I leave. Music is very powerful. I still have lyrics and melodies that follow me around every day from rap music that I used to listen to. They're still in my head, and they're very tempting. They're very tempting to follow along with the lyrics. And of course, especially rap music, it's everything that God hates, and it's in this rap music. And you have Christians who listen to this music. So-called Christians. So anyway, it's just wicked music that plays on the flesh. Even country music, it still plays on the flesh. It plays on your fleshly desires. God made music to worship Him, and as Satan does, he changes, he switches, he distorts what God has made. The rainbow, music. Music was made to worship God, and now it's being used to proclaim sin and ingrain it into these kids' heads and people's heads because it's very alluring and addicting. I was addicted to it, and like I said, I still have the melodies in my head. And it's powerful stuff. So anyway, I'm in the car. He's got to drive me home. He's got to drive me home because I can't even drive home. I can't. There's no way I can even drive home. I don't even think at this point. I think my life's over. I think I can't even function. I think I'm going to be stuck in a house my whole life because I don't even know how I can go from here. And at this point, I had no God in my life. I didn't believe in God. But this is a pivotal moment where the only thing I could cling on to was God is with me, because I grew up with God in the Catholic Church. So that's the only thing I could cling to. I went home to my mom. He drove me home to my mom. She said, just say, God is with you, God is with you. But of course, as we know, if I would have died that night, I would have gone to hell, whether I was saying God is with me or not. I would have gone to hell because I was wicked and I didn't accept Christ as my Savior. I didn't want anything to do with Him. But it was still only thing I could cling on to. And a few weeks went by. Even a week after, my high, I was still distraught. I was still terrorized. Even when the high wore off, I was still mentally not stable. But the next week, I went to church. Just prior to that bad high, a preacher friend of mine invited me to church, and it just happened to work that way. So I went to church that next week on a Sunday, and I went there because I was scared. And I always say, I went to church then because I was scared, but now I go to church because I love God and I love Jesus. Of course, we know Jesus is God. That was a beautiful thing about it. Anyway, I just started the snowball effect. I went from thinking I was going to lose my mind, and that's the scariest thought of thinking you're actually going to go somewhere in your head and not come back. So I started a snowball effect of going there. I just slowly started to gain and the knowledge, learn in the knowledge and wisdom of God, grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God. I was in a charismatic church. That was the one I landed in for about a year. After that, I stumbled. Let's see here. So yeah, this was really where we can look at with what happened was I didn't want anything to do with God. And, you know, we read in the Bible that, you know, God first loved us before we loved him. And that's truly what happened. He called me when I didn't want anything to do with him. He called me. And I look back at the grace and the love of God in my life, and I see that. I see I was this wicked person, didn't want anything to do with God. I was throwing rocks at God, and he still called me because he first loved us before we loved him. And I was unworthy. So unworthy, we're all unworthy. We all don't deserve it. We're all wicked. But by the blood of Christ, we are declared righteous. So every day since, I've been growing in the knowledge and wisdom of God. He's been molding me daily, humbling me every day. It's a beautiful thing. Valley he led me through was confusion, self-hatred, scared of life and people, antisocial, social anxiety. That's another beautiful thing. I was so antisocial and afraid to talk to anybody, and now he's got me walking up to strangers and sharing the gospel. And that's, isn't that awesome? So I was at a charismatic church for about a year. When God gave me discernment to get out of some of the fallacy, through preachers I stumbled upon. A buddy of mine sent me John MacArthur. I had seen him before, so I didn't know about this Reformed faith. I didn't know about the Protestant Reformation. So I just thought John MacArthur was just another preacher guy. I'm sure a lot of people kind of think that way too. But then I stumbled upon a Vodi Bakum video, and it was he was talking about the elect. He was kind of in the sermon debating about God predestined, and he doesn't, you know, look through the corridors of time, and it was about that. And then I was just enthralled in this preaching, and then I'm like, it blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow. It was kind of scary at first because, of course, then you're thinking, oh, I hope I'm the elect. But of course, we know once we, when we show our fruit and that we're actually coming to God in faith, that, you know, we know and we have that assurance that we are the elect. So preachers who have inspired me would be Vodi Bakum, impacted me. You know, Vodi Bakum, John MacArthur, James White. James White's got a lot of not just pastoral stuff, but just detailed videos. He's got a ton of videos he puts out. Jeff Durbin, he's great to watch for evangelism. He does a lot of Planned Parenthood stuff. He's great for that. R.C. Sproul, he's just so wise, and I've learned a lot from him. And, of course, Paul Washer. I don't think I can... There's no other preacher that gives me more conviction than Paul Washer. He always gets me. When I stumbled upon the Reformed faith was probably Vodi Bakum. I saw that video on election, and then I think a little later I was watching a Q&A with R.C. Sproul and a bunch of other guys on stage. I'm sure you've seen some of those. And they were talking about Calvinism That's why I stumbled upon that. And a lot of people, when they hear about the election, about the elect and predestination and Calvinism, they fight, they say they wrestle with it for a while. They wrestled with it with God, and then finally they went through it. By the grace of God, when I heard it, I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm like, there's no question. I mean, it's right there. I see it. And I might not comprehend it in my head, how God's sovereignty and our free will interacts, but it's not made for me to comprehend. The wisdom of God is far infinite compared to me. Let's see here. Through there, I bounced back and forth after I left the Charismatic Church. I went to Westside and bounced around to Hope. I didn't think there was any Reformed churches around here. I didn't know. I kind of thought I was the only Reformed person in Illinois. I didn't know, you know, there was these amount of people plus that lived so near to me. So I kind of felt like a straggler, like a stranger, just hoping I could stumble upon a good church. I looked up Reformed churches, and then this came up as a Protestant church. So I said, I'll try it out. I came here, and someone said last week, you know, you're kind of spiritually vulnerable when looking for new churches. So I came in, you know, thinking, I hope they at least, you know, talk the truth, and I don't know if they're going to be Reformed or, you know the people I watch, like Vody Bachum and all them, but I walked in, and then I saw a book on Calvinism that Kurt authored. I'm like, okay, I'm staying here. So, that's how I got here at Faith Bible. And with me serving, it's a pleasure to serve Christ here through helping out with communion, fellowshipping, serving the body, evangelism. I mean, that's such a blessing. We were out last night, and it's such a blessing to share the gospel. It really is. It's such a blessing. We have the privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only thing that matters, and it's a blessing. I went from a person who didn't want anything to do with God. Bible says I hated God, and I did. To now talking to strangers, sharing the gospel, and living for Christ. And there's no way I would have believed you if you said this is where you'd be in about 2 years. There's no way. I had just God's plan has taken me this far, and it's a blessing. And then sharing my testimony, another way. I love, great way to serve Christ and to encourage others and at least let other people know other valleys that people have gone through. And I guess if I'm going to speak about God's word, about something that inspires me or encourages me in God's word, would be... I said something wrong. Probably John chapter 1. For some reason lately, that's kind of stuck with me, just how... I go to real quick. Or I'd say the woman at the well, too. John chapter 4, with the woman at the well, just how Jesus is speaking about, you know, I can give you living water, talking about the Holy Spirit. Just the Gospel of John, I'd say, is just a beautiful, probably my favorite book in the New Testament, the Gospel of John. If there was one book I could just have it on island, it'd be the Gospel of John. It's a beautiful gospel, and I really go to that often. Let me get back to my notes. And I appreciate you guys listening to my talk and hearing my testimony. I hope it blesses you in some way. And if you could offer prayers for me for just... endurance. I mean, I'm 26. I was talking to Matt a few weeks ago saying, you know, the Christian life is hard, but it's simple. It's very simple, but it's hard. God lays it out in a simple way, and We have to rely on Him and lean on Him. And I know, you know, Lord willing, if I live to be fairly old, I know it's going to take endurance, and I know God will give me that. I appreciate prayers on that and just encouragement. And if I talk to you today in passing, let me know anything I can pray for you for. So I'll leave it at that. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
In 5 minutes, would you take a few questions?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure. If anybody has any questions.
How have your parents accepted your change in personality, and are they amazed?
Yeah, they, they're proud of me, for sure. They definitely noticed a change. They probably can't believe I'm still going along with it. They probably thought it was going to be some phase, some thing that lasted a couple months. So as I'm becoming more on fire for God, especially with evangelism, I'm sensing some pushback as far as thinking, you know, oh, it's judgmental to tell people to repent. And I'm sensing stuff like that. Not from my, I won't say names, but I, but they're proud of me. They, like I said, I grew up Catholic, and they are still Catholics. Not really practicing, but that's another thing, I guess, for prayers for would be their salvation. I spoke with my dad yesterday and just planting seeds. So yeah, they're proud of me, and I just hope that I can continue to, or pray I can continue to be a light to them, and that they can see the light too.
Tyler, your friend.
Yeah.
Have you been able to talk to him, or has he isolated himself from you
now? No, my new job I'm starting, he actually recommended it to me, so I'll be working with him soon. But I've stayed in contact with him, and I witness to him every time I see him, pretty much. And I tell him, I'm like, that night when I was with you, that's the night that changed my life. Like, I told him what I felt. I told you what I told you guys tonight. And he believes in God. He's not regenerate, but I'm definitely continuing witnessing to him and planting those seeds, and I'm hopeful. So, yeah.
You hear the drumbeat in our society that marijuana is not addictive. You kind of indicated it is.
It's not, they'll say it's not physically addictive, but it is psychologically addictive. Anyone who says it's not addictive in any way is delusional. It's very addictive. Of course, I was so scared, it was just, I'm done. Actually, this shows how stubborn the heart is. I smoked one more time after that experience because I'm like, I probably just got a bad strain or something. But then after that, I kind of felt the same thing come on, so then I cut it off cold turkey. But yeah, it's psychologically addictive. And I know other people who have smoked who they can't go a day without it, but they'll say, oh, I can get off of it. But yeah, it's addictive, and it's wicked, and it's hellish. It's not what it's propped up to be at all. It's bad news. So, and I thoroughly believe that. And I read a book called Pharmakia that talks more about drug use, the biblical view of drug use. I'd recommend it. It's a great book, and it's a pretty dark book too. When you smoke weed, get high, change your state of mind, you open the door to demons. And even though you have shamans and shamanism and witchcraft, which still goes on today, who smoke weed for the sole purpose of contacting other spirits. And although if you smoke weed and you don't do it for that purpose, nonetheless, you are still opening the door to demonic activity. And I didn't mention this, but I was hearing noises that weren't in this realm. Like, I was playing with fire. And I also didn't mention, before I fully denied God, I was thinking I was a God. I was thinking I could create my reality with the words I said and the way I thought. It was a weird phase. And once I started to get into that realm of thinking like I was a god and I can create my reality and my future, then that's when I really felt the restraints come off. God, take the restraints off. And it was demonic and it was evil. And that's what I felt that night in the car too. It definitely woke me up. I think I mentioned to you, Will, it was Dell, but if I didn't have this experience to kind of lean back on, as far as just the fear I had, I think I would have fell away from the, of course, it's all by God's grace, but I would have fell away from the Christian faith if I didn't have this experience to, you know, always look back to of that we know that there's a spiritual realm and that is real, and there's a real devil and there's real demons, and they don't just not like us, they hate us, and they want us to burn in hell for eternity. And that's why we have to put on Jesus Christ, and that's the reality of it. So yeah, I appreciate you guys listening. Thank you for the questions. I hope it blesses you. God bless. That'd be good.
All these kids need to hear it, even though they're in church.
Yeah.
You know, they go to school, some of them, with the world.
Yep.